of my all-time favorite books is a book called Animals as Teachers and Healers. We have copies in the bookstore. It's by Susan Chernak McElroy. And it's filled with true stories about dogs, cats, birds, horses, donkeys, cows, llamas, and dolphins who have loved and inspired and healed and taught valuable lessons to humans. There's one story in the book about a woman named Sandra who attended a workshop that involved swimming with the dolphins. And Kim Rosen, who facilitated that workshop, later wrote, "Sandra was a beautiful young woman full of yearning, imprisoned within a cage of frozen feelings and entangled memories. As she slipped into the water with the dolphins, Sandra's prison dissolved. She became as one of them, dancing and twirling through the waters, reborn into a freedom she had always remembered, yet never known. Emerging from the sea, she proclaimed, 'My God, they are who we would be without fear.'" Beautiful. Animals are our teachers and healers. And so are plants and trees and rivers and mountains and oceans and flowers, valleys, all of it. You know, we humans think of ourselves as the superior species. But nature has so much to teach us. And I believe nature wants to teach us. I believe there's some compassion going on there. And we who think that we're of the higher order, we would do well to humble ourselves, to spend less time dominating and more time learning. Because the divine in nature can awaken the divine in us. Well, spiritual masters throughout history have turned to nature for insights and inspiration. Of course, Jesus pointed to the lilies of the field and the birds of the air to help us understand God's love. And he regularly referenced mountains, fields, seeds, trees, plants, and animals to make his points. And isn't it so interesting? When you picture Jesus, don't you always picture him outdoors? Like we picture him on a hillside or in a garden or in the wilderness or by the sea. You know, you never picture Jesus at home with his feet propped up, right? He's always out in the elements because he's one with that beautiful energy of oneness, the spiritual. Well, the transcendentalists whose philosophy helped shape new thought, they had a special reverence for nature. They believed that spirit, or God, was immanent in all of creation, immanent meaning within all of creation, and that all of creation could and did reveal that spirit. The first essay Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote was in 1836, and it was called Nature. In it, he described a transcendent moment that he had experienced while walking along one chilly November evening, thinking about nothing in particular. He wrote, "Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become a transparent eyeball. I am nothing. I see all. The currents of the universal being circulate through me. I am part or particle of God." You know, that moment of dissolving into the universe inspired Emerson for the rest of his life. Even more familiar to us is Henry David Thoreau, who was especially drawn to nature. When he went off to Walden Pond, which is near Concord, Massachusetts, for 2 years, he said, "I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, to discover that I had not lived." Often Thoreau experienced a loss of self by immersing himself in nature. In Walden, he wrote, "I sat in my sunny doorway from sunrise to noon, wrapped in reverie, amidst the pines and hickories and sumacs, while the birds sang around or flitted noiseless through the house, until by the sun falling in at my west window or the noise of some traveler's wagon on the distant highway, I was reminded of the lapse of time. I grew in those seasons like corn in the night, and they were far better than any of the work of the hands would have been." Those words are so beautiful, aren't they? Just hearing them, it sort of stirs something really deep in us, doesn't it? Because I believe we all have this innate longing for what is simple and essential. We all feel this draw to nature. You know, nature is our safe haven, is it not? It's our sanctuary. And often, nature is our saving grace. Wasn't this so true during the lockdown time, and even now, during the pandemic? Honestly, I cannot even imagine how I, or we, would have gotten through those times of being isolated from one another and feeling hemmed in had we not had the relief and the opportunity to go out in nature to just experience sort of the sheltering sky and the towering trees and the beautiful ocean, just to feel reassured. It's like all of nature was pulling for us. Didn't you feel that? As if it was conveying to us, life goes on. We'll get through this. Everything's okay. Nature is our teacher, and we still have so much to learn. In his book called Green Nature, Human Nature, Charles Lewis writes, "Green nature acts like a conscience, telling us that we must realize that our civilization is not necessarily life's highest achievement." And get this, he notes, "Plants existed on Earth longer than people, and indeed may outlast people. Crabgrass can survive a nuclear attack and keep on growing." Some of you may have experienced some of that in your own yards. But think about that. I mean, the fact is, we need nature more than nature even needs us, right? According to the World Health Organization, the number one health epidemic in the 21st century, leaving aside the current pandemic, but the ongoing number one health epidemic in the 21st century is stress. Stress. We're all busy and overwhelmed, and technology has only made it worse. Technology that's supposed to make our lives so much easier, save time, right? On top of everything else, we now have what is called techno-stress due to unhealthy ways of using technology. Research shows that constantly checking our phones, I know none of you do this, constantly checking our phones, compulsively sharing updates and feeling that we always have to be connected, addictively playing computer games, continually surfing the web. Practices like these contribute to, here's the list, anxiety, headaches, depression, mental fatigue, eye and neck strain, insomnia, frustration, anger, and irritability. That's what we're doing to ourselves. And of course, the more stress, the more illness. So because of that, there's more heart attacks, strokes, cancer, mental illness, addiction, loneliness, depression, and panic attacks. But Mother Nature is here for us. If we will slow down and make time for her, here's one novel practice that we can use to connect with Mother Nature. It's called forest bathing. Forest bathing, not like, not like a water bathing, forest bathing. And in his book by that title, Dr. Ching Li, who's the chairman of the Japanese Society of Forest Medicine, he describes this as a simple practice for restoring balance as well as our health and happiness. It's known as Japan as Shinran Yoku, forest bathing, It simply means bathing in the forest atmosphere, taking in the forest through all of our senses. We smell the flowers, we taste the fresh air, we hear the birds sing, look out at the changing colors of leaves, feel the breeze on our skin. Oh, it almost feels good just thinking about it, doesn't it? As Dr. Lee says, nature takes our breath away and breathes new life into us. I know this might sound a little woo-woo to some of you out there. Okay, we're going to go out and hug some trees. It's forest bathing. But listen, there's now a wealth of data that shows that forest bathing offers these benefits. Reduces blood pressure, lowers stress, improves cardiovascular and metabolic health, lowers blood sugar levels, improves concentration and memory, lifts depression, improves pain thresholds, improves energy, boosts the immune system, and helps people lose weight. I know you're thinking, where do I sign up? Well, the steps for forest bathing are actually quite simple. In fact, they don't even have to require a forest. First, find a location. It can be a forest, a park, or a garden, or your own backyard, our beautiful grounds here at Unity Renaissance. But you want to try to find a spot that has plenty of trees and a lot of different varieties of plants, and if possible, near water. Step two, leave behind your phone, camera, music, and any other distractions. As you enter into this spot for this time, slow down. Slow down. Come into the present moment and forget about time. Engage your five senses and then your sixth sense. Your sixth sense is your state of mind, so you can consciously breathe in joy and calm. When you close your eyes, it helps you listen in all directions so you hear everything around you. And Dr. Lee says to stay here for 2 hours, if possible. 2 hours. Though you will begin to notice effects after 20 minutes. You know, during my sabbatical, one of the most wonderful things I discovered was the joy of lying in our hammock for hours at a time. Seriously, just lying there, looking up at the trees and listening to the birds sing, looking out at the ducks and the geese on the pond behind our house, and just taking in the big, bright, beautiful blue sky. And as I would lie there, I felt like I was enveloped by God. I truly did. A place of perfect wholeness and peace. You know, if nature is our teacher, if God in nature is our teacher, then we would do well to be good students. You can create this feeling of being enveloped in God in so many different ways. You can spend time in a park. You can go for a walk. We're so blessed here to have so many beautiful places around us. Go to the beach. Put your toes in the ocean for a while. Spend some time on these grounds. You know, Linda Bradley and Ed Bradley, Linda's sitting over there in our fantastic green team, they've created a masterpiece on these grounds. Come out here sometime and just walk slowly around and then sit. Wherever you go, just spend some time there and take it in. And pay attention to what is around you. Even when you're in your home, you know, even a cat sleeping in the sun can remind us to relax. Take it easy. And enjoy life. You might want to plant flowers, tend a garden, or if you can't be outside, bring plants in and fill up your house, because plants are life-giving, aren't they? Oh, they have like an immediate effect on us. And here's an example of how connecting with one single plant changed a person's life. So he was a 24-year-old veteran lying in a hospital bed in a VA hospital in Alabama. And he had become totally paralyzed after stepping on a landmine in Vietnam. Well, his medical team was not certain that his paralysis would be permanent, but the patient had fallen into despair and he had stopped trying to improve. Well, one sunny spring day, a horticultural therapist came in and put down on the beside the bed of the patient a little glass jar half filled with peat moss. And then while the patient was watching, he planted into the peat moss 5 bean seeds. Well, of course, within a couple of days, the bean seeds began to sprout. And within 5 days or so, they really started growing rapidly. If you've ever grown bean seeds, it's amazing. You can practically see the growth happening. So they were growing rapidly. And then the horticultural therapist took the jar and he put it on the other side of the patient's bed where he couldn't see it. And he told the nurse not to turn the patient the way they usually had been. Well, the next morning, that young veteran was lying on his other side, looking at his bean seeds. It was his first voluntary movement since he'd had his accident. And after that, he continued to progress, and eventually he was discharged from the hospital. While he is in a wheelchair, he's gone on to be able to live a full, satisfying life. You see, the healing element of God in nature. And this presence, this spirit presence, is all around us. It's really calling to us, but it's up to us to connect with it. It is to make the time to slow down, to notice, to spend time with it. So I encourage you, particularly now, my friends, this is such a difficult time for us. I am very well aware. We're all carrying a lot right now. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of upset. Do yourself this favor. Make time to go out and spend time in nature or with animals, however you can. Open yourself up to it, this beautiful healing presence that loves you. Let it calm you. Let it soothe you. Let it bring you peace. And let it bring you joy. Let's turn now to our meditation. Let's just take a moment to get comfortable in our seats. And close your eyes if that feels comfortable for you, taking in a big, deep, cleansing breath. Release and let it go. And let's do that 2 more times. Big deep breath in. And let go. And once more, breathing in. Sense of stress just dropping away from your shoulders. Any busy thoughts going quiet. And breathe. Feeling in this very moment this great love of the universe all around you and within you. Loving you. In this moment, I invite you to bring into your mind's eye a special place of sanctuary for you. Maybe it's out in nature, maybe it's being with your pets. Maybe it's someplace in your house, but your sanctuary, your little piece of heaven. Take a moment to remember how you feel when you are there. That sense of, God. Allow yourself in your your mind's eye to revisit that place, that sacred sanctuary, that safe haven for you. Allow yourself to imagine going there and being there, seeping it in for a few moments in the silence. Go forward from this time of meditation. We make an inner commitment, each of us, to find ways to connect with, to steep ourselves in God and nature as a gift to ourselves, knowing and giving thanks that all of nature, all of spirit in its many forms, is pulling for us, is loving us, is there for us. And for all of this, we are so grateful. Thank you, sweet spirit, and so it is. Amen.
Flow, spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show spirit.